Welcome to the Lubar Executive Education Podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about expanding your emotional intelligence. With me today is Tiffany Barnard. Tiffany is a professional life coach specializing in helping people identify which beliefs are their own and which ones are holding them back from becoming the best version of themselves. She believes that by learning how to truly communicate with others and by understanding how you react or respond to your thoughts and emotions influences all your relationships, you'll be able to fully unlock your potential and create sustainable change in your life. Welcome, Tiffany. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'm really happy to be here.
To get us started, please tell us a little bit about how you got into helping leaders.
I have been self-employed my entire life. I started off by taking over the family business, what feels like three lifetimes ago, fresh out of university. 6 years after that, I set up my own company. And it's been an interesting journey. It's been one up and down, ins and outs as it is. Being a leader is a very lonely place to be. Everybody thinks it's great. You're self-employed. You can do what you want. You go on holiday when you want. And it's true. It's great. You know, you can just say at 2 o'clock, I've had enough and go to bed. The thing is, the buck stops with you. Yes. And, you know, when things are going well, it's great. And when things are going difficultly or badly, it's not so great. And it is a lonely place to be. And so when I became a life coach, I was very keen to be able to actually help leaders who are meant to be these awesome beings. You know, it's like they've achieved, they're at the top, and everybody goes, oh, you must know everything there is to know. The fact is, very often we get to the top and we've got no idea what's going on, where we're going. Very often we suffer from imposter syndrome. You know, we're kind of doubting ourselves. We spend the whole time tiptoeing around hoping we're not going to get busted. And that really, really sort of resonated with me. So that's where, even though I'm a personal sort of personal development coach, it really is geared towards the leaders developing their own confidence, and eliminating those barriers that they've got to their own amazing potential and success.
That makes total sense. Transitioning a little bit now to the topic of emotional intelligence, which is our main topic for our time together. I've seen a lot of leaders and organizations think that hosting or maybe sending people to a single workshop on emotional intelligence for a few hours or maybe the better part of a day is enough to kind of check that box and everybody's good to go after that. What are your thoughts on that approach?
Many. emotional intelligence is definitely something that you can learn. You can nurture it, let's say. It is not something that you can go to a workshop for 2 hours and then go, yep, that's done. I've got it. It doesn't work like that. You know, it really is about understanding yourself better so that you can understand others better. And it's a brave new world that we live in. There's a lot of changes going on in the corporate world. Traditionally, it was all about leave the emotions at home. Very often, there wasn't even emotions at home. It was such a dog-eat-dog world that there was no space for any emotions anywhere. Leaders were meant to be tough, they were meant to be decisive, and they were meant to really take no prisoners. And that worked great. You know, it worked really, really well until we had a new generation of people coming in who had slightly different expectations of what their workplace was going to look like. And, you know, the younger generation that's coming up now, they're not afraid to go, well, I don't like this, so I'm going to change my job. I'm a Gen X. So Gen Xers are, you know, very good at just putting up with things and getting on with it. You know, our expectations were kind of, I don't know if they were low or I don't know if we just didn't have any, but, you know, we did things. We had a job. We didn't want to change jobs too often because it looked bad on our CV. Whereas today, you know, you talk to a 20 something and they're like, well, I don't like it, so I'm getting another one. And when you bring up the issue of the CV, they're like, well, let's just tell them, you know, I didn't like it. You know, the place didn't fit. We weren't a good fit, you know. And I think it's a good thing. I think if we bring more humanity into the workplace, only good things can happen.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And as a fellow Gen X, I think we can learn a lot from other generations in the workplace. And, speaking of that, if we can dig in a little bit more, what are some things that you've seen that we can learn or that we should learn?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's, I think we were always afraid to admit what it was that we wanted. It was like we felt that we didn't have the right to expect that. You know, the Gen Xers are sort of going through going, well, it's good enough. And it's kind of on the scale of positive, negative energy, that's kind of down there at the bottom. It's not really negative, but it's not hugely positive either. You're making do. Whereas the new generations, the younger generations coming in, you know, they're not afraid to voice their expectations. They're not afraid to demand their expectations. And as a parent of young people, this amazing ability that they have to demand things is sometimes wearing, but it is great because at least they don't marginalize themselves. They don't settle for second best. They know what they want and they go out after it. And they have a plan. I mean, I don't know, my plan was given to me. But, you know, the plan was, you know, is get a job, do your job and stay in that job. When I talk to my daughter now, she's got like this 15-year plan of what she's going to do. And I'm going to spend 5 years here and 3 years there. And she knows exactly what she's expecting from each of the jobs. She knows that the first job is going to pay badly, but she's only going to be there for a number of years. And I think that that awareness is fabulous. I think it really is, because there'll be no resentment. I don't like it, therefore I'm leaving. Whereas we would go, I don't like it. And we just like grumble into our tea and stay, which is not hugely healthy, I think, in the long term.
I think that's some sage comments there. And I do think there's a lot that we can learn from different approaches to work and different people's perspectives. So thanks for sharing your observations. Earlier, you mentioned a little bit about so many changes taking place in the world and people's lives individually. You know, obviously, we had this big global event here last few years with COVID. What are some of the things that you've witnessed as a result of the global pandemic when it comes to work and emotional intelligence?
I think that's a great question. And it's strange, but COVID created somewhat of a contradiction, especially in our work lives. COVID pushed us to stay at home. So a lot of people, as we know, took to remote working, which some loved, some hated. The ones who loved it because they realized that their work-life balance was a lot better, that their life was a lot richer. They had more time to do the things with their families or even if they were single, but they had more time for themselves to do what it was that they wanted to do. They weren't sitting in traffic. They weren't commuting. At the same time, it created a big problem because the boundaries of where work and home sort of start and end were all fuzzed because it was all one place. As you can see from where I'm sitting, my living room is where I work, is where I do my exercise in the morning, is where I relax in the evening. If you don't have sort of some firm sort of boundaries for yourself, it can get very stressful because either you end up doing too much of the home stuff and not enough of the work stuff or vice versa. So I think for people finding that balance, it was quite difficult and quite stressful. And then, of course, you have the isolation. So although it's brilliant to be able to connect with people like you, Mike, you know, you're on the other side of the world, and I would never be able to sit and have a conversation with you if it wasn't for Zoom. And COVID definitely normalized Zoom. It's fine to have a conversation with somebody on your computer screen. That's great. But it does take the sort of the personal bit out, and it can be a lonely existence. So I think that people did suffer because of that. And I think that as a result of COVID, also, it has to be noted that the awareness, mental health awareness, has increased massively. So the whole remote working, good, bad, good for the, you know, secondary sort of awareness issues. But it is an interesting concept. It's interesting how the pandemic has changed our lives. But from my point of view, I think the most important thing is the fact that it has raised awareness of the mental health issues. And I'm not talking about serious mental health issues. There's always been awareness about that. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, it's okay for somebody to turn around and say, you know what, I feel like, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. Or you can share that, you know, you feel maybe like you've got where you've got by dumb luck. Or you can share that, you know, you feel overwhelmed. Burnout is a massive issue right now. It's like people are pushing themselves to do more and more. And maybe it's also as a result of the pandemic. They had so much going on at home. They maybe gone back to work and they're trying to keep all of that going on at home and still doing everything at work. I don't know. But it's okay to actually stop and say to whoever's working next to you in the office, boy, you know what? Today's hard. It's getting on top of me. And I think that is amazing.
Yeah, and we've definitely seen an uptick in a need for some what we call resilience training is our program, and just a recognition or a lot of empathy, which was always important for leaders. A little more spotlight shown on it now, as I've said multiple times on many of the episodes I've done here. And burnout is something that is certainly not new, but has definitely, I think, increased due to the pandemic and all the changes that we've gone through here in the last few years. Digging into this a little bit more, at least the subject of burnout, what recommendations do you have for leaders when it comes to fighting off burnout or reducing the risk of that for themselves and for their teams?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because burnout used to be worn as a badge of honor. You know, it was like, I work that much that, yeah, you know, I've got burnout. And I think we're realizing that it's not such a cool thing to have. If we take empathy in the workplace and emotional intelligence, I believe, as I said before, starts with awareness of ourselves. So if we have that self-awareness also comes with it a sort of self, I'm not going to say self-love, because a lot of people have a problem with that, but I'm going to say self-acceptance, all right? And when you have that, you can accept that you are human, okay? That you have a finite amount of energy. And sometimes we have external factors that are just sapping that energy. We haven't slept very well. It's getting hot here. So when it gets hot, it's more difficult to concentrate. You may have hurt something, you know, maybe something is you're in pain, your body's not working as you expect it to. So all of these things kind of add to what is already quite a stressful life. It's very fast paced. People expect things to happen now. There's very little patience when it comes to anything. I mean, you get a WhatsApp and people start to get upset if you haven't in 30 seconds. You know, it's like, where are you? Are you okay? I was like, yes, having a cup of coffee. I'll be with you in a minute. So this rush, rush, rush. If you've got the self-awareness and you've got the self-acceptance, just give yourself the grace to actually stop, to understand that if you want to really show up at 100% for everybody else, you need to be at 100% for yourself. So if you're feeling like you need to take just some time to do nothing, and I know there's a lot of people who are going to be going, it's going to really be a difficult one, because, you know, I'm the worst one. It's like, watch TV in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week. Are you mad? But I sometimes force myself to do that. And you know what? It's great. I feel like I'm playing hooky from school. But just take that time to just understand that your body needs it. Your body and your mind needs it to recover. And if you want to be able to show up as a strong leader, then you need to be at 100%. You need to be at your very best. And you can't do that if you're burning the candle at both ends, if you're working 18 hours a day, sleeping 3 hours a night. The 5 a.m. club, this is a great idea, you know, and people wear that as a badge of honor. And I'm the one going, nope, can't do it. I wake up at 7 a.m. That's it. It's not going to get any earlier than that. So, you know, I understand that it would be great to have 2 hours more in the, but I also understand that the way my body works, I'm a zombie until, you know, forget about it. 7 a.m. is the earliest way. So just give yourself the grace to know that it's okay to be you. It is okay for you to do whatever you need to do to be able to show up for your team at 100%. Your team, your family, your friends, all of them. You have to find a balance. So in life, we've got like different houses. We've got our family, we've got career, we've got finance, we've got social, we've got health, all of these different things. And if there isn't some kind of balance within all of those areas of our life, then we're going to be living out of alignment with ourselves. And that is going to end up with us being unable to function.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And as somebody who struggles with balance from time to time, and probably more so earlier in my career, some of it is just looking at the mirror and saying, it can wait a little bit and let me take a break so I can be my best self. Another big part of emotional intelligence, and something that we talk about a lot in our programs, is obviously building self-awareness. And one of the ways to do that is to get a coach. And why should people consider getting a coach? And what are the benefits that people might be missing out on if they don't have one?
Well, for me, the biggest gift that coaching can give anybody is the gift of choice. We have choice in everything we do, starting with what we think, what we feel, how we act. And that fact, that choice, is often completely lost on people. People feel that they're stuck. People feel that they have no choice. People feel that they're forced to do X, Y, or Z. You know, I'd love to do this, but I can't. I should do that. I have to do something else. These should, have, need, all of these words, which are like very confining. Coaching can set you free. And coaching can set you free because a coach is not somebody who's going to tell you what to do, because the coach is not the expert in your life. Only you are the expert in your life. But what a coach does do is a coach partners with you and supports you in your voyage towards your goals, whatever those are. The coach is going to give you a safe space in which you can listen to your thoughts, verbalize them. You can bounce ideas off your coach. Your coach will ask you questions. Coaching is all about asking empowering questions, getting the client to think a little bit deeper, to think maybe in a little bit of a different way. A coach is going to be there to change your perspective. Having a coach also relieves stress. You don't feel so alone. You don't feel as if you're abandoned on a bobbing raft in the middle of the Atlantic. You know, you've got a partner there. You've got somebody who is supporting you and going to keep you accountable. And when that stress comes down, suddenly you can see solutions. You can see possibilities. When the stress rises, and this is the other problem with burnout, is that, you know, you get to that point, you're so stressed, all you see are problems. And if you see problems, you're not going to be moving forward. In fact, most likely you'll be moving backwards because, you know, you feel crowded, you feel claustrophobic, everything is black. It doesn't matter what you do. You believe that it's going to go wrong. And a coach is going to just clear all of that up. A coach will give you clarity so that you can see the different choices available to you and give you the space also to weigh up those choices so that you can make the change that you're looking for in your life. And that change will be sustainable.
Yeah, I really like your concept of a coach creating a safe space for you. We talk about safe space a lot to share so we can learn and get better, and also widening that perspective. One of the things that when I was learning how to be a coach, we talked about the concept of when you're asking questions as a coach, the answers are not for you. They're for the person who's being coached. That's part of the journey. So once you get that into your head, it can really propel you forward.
And then just to add one thing, I had actually a conversation with somebody the other day, and they're like, yeah. But you know what you do? My best friend does for me. And I'm like, yes, but there's a big difference. So the big difference is that the best friend will think that they know what's best for you, the best friend or the family member. The coach has no attachment to the outcome. You know, you can say to me today, Tiffany, I need to find a better job. I need to make $10,000 an hour. And this is what I want to do. And I'll go, okay, cool. Okay. Let's have a look at that. Let's explore that. I'd look at the core as to why you want to do that, but let's just keep it simple. Let's have a look at that. If you came back to me the week later and go, you know what? I've decided I'm going to become a missionary and go to Africa. I'd be like, okay, well, let's have a look at that. I'm not attached to the outcome. I'm not going to try and persuade you that what you came up with last week was actually much better. There's no judgment. There's no good. There's no bad or anything. It's like, this is what Mike wants. So this is what we're going to work towards. And I think that's a big difference. The other difference is that a coach is always going to move you forward. Always.
Yeah. Sometimes your friends provide that comfort, tell you what you want to hear in many cases. And that's why you're reaching out to them. Having a good support system, I'm a huge proponent of that. But yeah, having a coach sometimes can keep you a little more grounded and widen that perspective. In your coaching practice, I understand you use something called the Energy Leadership Index. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I love it. I'm a big fan of energy. I'm in as much as I really feel other people's energy. So if somebody's in a good place, if somebody's in a bad place, if they're, you know, upset, it's something that I can feel. So this whole energy leadership assessment is fabulous. It works on the basis that we have 7 levels of energy. We go through these 7 levels during the day, depending on how stressed we are, or, you know, what the external influences are on us, whether everything's going well. And they start off in levels 1 and 2. So levels 1 is kind of the victim. It doesn't matter what I do. Everything's going to go wrong. It's everybody else is lucky. I'm unlucky. That kind of idea. Level 2 is very angry, is very defiant, is very conflictual. You believe that the world is a place full of conflict. And if you don't show up and fight for yourself, then nothing will ever happen. It's a kind of very dog eat dog. It's very much what is happening in our corporate world. That's dog eat dog, that you're ruling by fear. You know, if you don't do this, you're going to get fired, or if you don't do this, you're not going to get your bonus. Ruling by fear, which works for a very short period of time. Because those two levels, the victim and the angry level, they're both negative energy. It's what we call catabolic. They're destructive. So you're never going to construct anything out of them. Then we get to the level three. The level three is the level of forgiveness. You're looking to just forgive people to move forward. It's like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. It's, you know, you'll find a reason. Okay, I do it a lot with my kids. You know, they do something wrong and I'm always making excuses for them, you know, just to kind of like put it to bed and go forward. So it is a forward moving energy, and it's the first step to actually constructing great things. Then you have level four. Level four is service. You know, how can I help you? What can I do for you? It's a place where we are very much concerned about other people. Level five is all about working together, collaboration, opportunities, win-win. How can we make this work? You know, everybody has to win. And then we get to level six, and level six is where there's no judgment. There's no judgment. We see ourselves and other people. In as much as when somebody does something that other people would judge as being a mistake, we would recognize ourselves in the fact that we could have done that, or maybe we even have done that. And so with that lack of judgment, it's very accepting. It's a place of wisdom, level six. So understanding where you are, how you show up every day, understanding that when you're angry, you tend to go to the victim mode. For example, I had a client who has got his results back and he's like, why have I got so much level one? I'm not a victim. And I'm like, listen to yourself right now. He was like, it doesn't matter what I do. It's like, it's all going to go wrong. I said, listen to your words. And he was like, oh my, you're right. Then you have other people who see a lot of anger in themselves, and it depends on the situation. And, you know, they might see that with a certain person, that's how they're showing up. Or in another situation, you know, they recognize that they're happy to be there and they're looking, they've got this synergy, this amazing synergy with people, and they're just looking for collaboration. So understanding also that, you know, this is what happens. We're all the same, and that we have a choice. So if you understand the energy levels and then you feel yourself, for example, if you're sick, it's very normal to go down to the level one and be a victim, because people look after you. You're not expected to do anything. You don't have to take responsibility. So it's great. Be at level one. Allow people to look after you. It has to be by choice. This is the thing, not by default.
Yeah, definitely a choice. And you've got to just recognize where you're at that given time and take action accordingly, I guess, right?
Exactly. And then it also helps you understand how other people are showing up. You know, yeah. It's that awareness again, is understanding that, you know, well, what's going on for you, and actually being able to say, all right, well, normally they're not like this. Today they're being very like angry. So do I need to be angry back? Is that the best way of moving forward? Or maybe I need to be level four and be of service. How can I help? What's going on? Or maybe there's a level five opportunity here. You know, it's like, how can we work together? You know, so it is really interesting to understand these different levels, and to understand that we have definitely a choice in how we're showing up. And once you understand the levels, your chances of succeeding are far higher, because you've taken back control of your life. You don't believe that, you know, your life is some haphazard event. So when you take control, you can perform.
It's always interesting to me. And the more I talk about emotional intelligence and self-awareness, you realize that this is a lifelong skill, something you can totally build for your whole career and beyond. And I think what you just shared is a great example or demonstration of that. Before we wrap up our time together today, what final advice or thoughts would you like to share with our audience about building self-awareness or energy, or just fighting off burnout, any of the stuff we've talked about?
You know, I think that the biggest thing for me is, again, changing people's concept. You know, before it was seen as a weakness to ask for help. It's not. It's a sign of strength. It's a sign of knowing where your limits are and reaching out and asking for people. And I think it's really important in the world that we're living in right now, where there's so much uncertainty generally. You know, there's this, when you're looking at, you know, socio-eco-political issues, it's a tough world that we live in. So if you're feeling like things are getting harder, that's the time to reach out for some help. And, you know, maybe it's to reach out to a friend, maybe it's to find a coach, whatever that looks like, be kind to yourself. By being kind, you will be able to show up and you will be able to succeed and perform at the level that you want.
There's definitely nothing wrong with being vulnerable as a leader and giving yourself some grace, as you said earlier, and asking for help. So thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Tiffany, thank you again for making time in your schedule to talk with us today and share some advice and some of your observations. If anybody's interested in learning more from you, where can we point them to?
I'm on LinkedIn, Tiffany Barnard, and also my website, which is tiffanybarnard.com.
Wonderful. I'll add some information about that into our show notes. In closing, I'd like to take a moment and thank our listeners. We wish you the best of luck as you move forward on your leadership journey. Please check back regularly for additional episodes.